Listen up.
The future of sports radio starts now.
The Half-Ass Podcast
with Notch.
Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished. He awoke to find himself trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not his own, and driven by an unknown force to change history for the better. His only guide on this journey is Al, an observer from his own time, who appears in the form of a hologram that only Sam can see and hear. And so Dr. Beckett finds himself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong, and hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home.
You know, I even think Dr. Samuel Beckett himself could save the Minnesota Vikings. Got that supercomputer in Stallions Gate, New Mexico. Where would they even begin if Sam Beckett was going to leap back in time to try to make right what's gone wrong with the Minnesota Vikings throughout their history? You know what the worst part is? The supercomputer's name is Ziggy, so you'd think they'd be at least a little bit sympathetic to our plight. But no, I don't think so. The New Orleans Saints, for example, it just came out officially from an NFL investigation that they were headhunting with financial incentives, and that supposedly cost the Vikings a trip to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Now, some people may take some satisfaction in this ruling, but I'm not going to be one of them. Anybody that watched the game? Anybody that watched the game before the Vikings NFC Championship game in New Orleans? When they beat the Cardinals in the divisional playoff? Not Kurt Warner out of the game? They probably already knew this anyway. This revelation doesn't do anything for me. Doesn't change certain things. It never will change certain things. What if Drew Pearson came out today and admitted? Well, we all know. People that weren't even born then knew it. People that have never seen the game or the highlight of the play, they know this to be true. Drew Pearson pushed off on Nate Wright to catch that Hail Mary pass in 75. Knocked maybe the best Vikings team in history out of the playoffs. Defending two-time NFC champion Vikings, by the way. Fran Tarkenton, MVP of the league. Drew Pearson admitting something now doesn't change 75. Just like the NFL deciding that what goes on quite often in NFL locker rooms, in this case, went way, way over the top and way over the line. Does that change 2009? Does that change the fact the Vikings outgained the Saints almost 2-1 in yards? Does that change the 12-man in the huddle penalty? Does that change the turnovers? So many turnovers. Some of them unforced turnovers. No, it doesn't change anything. Saints still won. They still have their Super Bowl trophy. I've got three very important points I'd like to make about this whole situation that just came up again. The salt in the wound. First of all, people are talking about the Saints should have to forfeit the Vince Lombardi trophy for some reason. Why would the Vikings be the only team that would have a claim on such a forfeited trophy? The Cardinals were just as hurt by this as the Vikings were. And you know, this isn't the NCAA where they have the memory wipe where fans, alumni, parents, they all spend their hard-earned money to follow these collegiate teams. And what do they get out of it? Years after the fact, they find out that what they saw and experienced and felt never really happened. Minnesota Golden Gophers basketball, 1997, of which I was a big follower. Big follower. I don't know if you're familiar with Golden Gopher basketball from that long ago, but well, I'm sure you're not going to read about it in the media guide, but that team went to the Final Four. All those memories. Miles Tarver dancing with Billy Packer after they beat UCLA. The two-seeded UCLA team that was a favorite over the one-seed Gopher team in the regional final that year. Miles Tarver was dancing with Billy Packer after the game. I think Billy had picked UCLA to win, so it was very magnanimous of him to not go hide somewhere. He actually faced up to it. They played Kentucky tough in the Hoosier Dome in the national semifinal. Can't tell me that team didn't exist. Some things you can't unremember. And I mean good things, too. It's not always bad things that are burning your brain. Why I like pro sports so much more than college sports. There's no memory wipe. For better or for worse, what happened, happened. At the very least, I know there's a lot of upset Vikings fans, and I'm upset, too. I mean, we honked a trip to the Super Bowl away. Not as much by the Saints and their questionable tactics, but by our own incompetence. I mean, there were some really questionable cheap shots in that game, but put it this way. Let's put it this way. Karma wasn't really on our side in 2009. If you remember correctly, we had to sell our soul to bring Brett Favre in to be the quarterback. And in some ways, even if we would have won the Super Bowl, then there would have been a little bit of a taint to the Vikings' Super Bowl win because they would have said, oh, you had to bring Brett Favre in to do it. You know, Packer fans would have been crying foul the whole time. And right or wrong, as a Vikings fan, you still would have had to listen to it. Let's talk about an asterisk that the Saints' Super Bowl win isn't going to count as much as the other legitimate Super Bowl wins. Well, you know what? The last time the Vikings were in a Super Bowl, I was 8 years old. The same age that my young twin boys are now. My youngest boys, my youngest offspring, are the exact same age as I was the last time the Vikings were in a Super Bowl. And I'm a hell of a lot older than 8 years old right now. So let's put it this way. There's no asterisk on the Super Bowl champions DVD. There's no asterisk on the hat or the shirt or the coffee mug or the shot glass or the flag pendant banner that you hang up in your house. There's no asterisk on the bumper sticker or the window cling you put on your car. A Super Bowl win is a Super Bowl win. The Saints are going to pay plenty, but take away from their future. You can't take away from their past. The penalties for this have to ensure that this doesn't happen anymore. Well, it's going to happen to some extent. There's always going to be people that are going to have incentives to want to knock the starting quarterback out of the game. Anytime you're playing a team that has a really good starting quarterback and a really not so good backup quarterback, you're always going to have a situation where you're trying to knock the quarterback out of the game. You may not be trying to hurt him or cripple him, but you want to get that inferior, crappy backup quarterback in the game. Organized bounty program or not. That's how football's been working for years and years and years. This goes on a lot more than you think it does. It just wasn't to this extent. It wasn't so brazen or open as it was in New Orleans. And apparently Greg Williams has done this before when he was defensive coordinator of other teams. But you know what? 2009, it's over. The Saints are the champions. They're always going to be the champ, no matter what. If I'm PO'd about it, it's not because of the bounty. It's because the Vikings pissed the game away. And they pissed it away. Let me tell you, they really, oh, God. You know what else I'm mad about? It's a bit of a confession on my part. Because as that game was going on, a couple years ago, I got three boys, 8, 6, and 6 at the time. And their attention spans, I mean, they love the Vikings. They love football. They love sports. They love their daddy. They love sitting and watching sports with daddy. But they were getting tired. So they were going in to lie down. And I've got a DVR, keep in mind. Keep that in mind when you hear this story. So timeout. With like 19 seconds to go in the game, fourth quarter. And I yell out to my boys to come out to the living room. They can watch the Vikings kick a field goal and go to the Super Bowl. They get all excited. And then what happens? 12 men in the huddle. And then what happens after that? Brett Favre throws across his body. And I say a certain four-letter word about as loud as any human being has ever said any four-letter word in the history of the world. And you could tell because my kids, all of them, plugged their ears with their fingers. They could have been sitting on an airport runway with a plane taking off above their head, and it wouldn't have been as loud as the profanity that came out of my mouth at that moment. I'm not proud of it, but it happened. The truth. I'm not going to lie to you. After that, I just told the boys, just go to bed. Just go. Get out of the room. Just go to bed. I knew it was going to happen. This wasn't my first rodeo with this football team, so I knew. So I just told them to go to bed. I should have just watched it. And when they won, rewound it, brought the kids out, and then acted like it was live. I could have faked it. It's like the first time I've lied to my kids. I'm more pissed that I jinxed it than I am about the high-low hit on Favre, because that stuff happens all the time. Me jinxing the game was inexcusable. Hope you can forgive me. Please don't suspend me or anything. Above all else, my third and final point is, I mean, if you've been a Viking fan for any reasonable length of time, you've got to realize that this is just another chapter in the long, sad tale of the history of the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, you got the team in 69 that will start the year like 12-0 or whatever. Or they won their last 12. They won 12 in a row that year at some point. And they lost Super Bowl IV. And then you got the other three Super Bowls, two of which they played about as bad as any team could possibly play at that time in that era. 75 with Drew Pearson. the push off. Then you've got 87 when the scab team cost the Vikings a decent playoff berth. They got to go on the road and play three times to go to the Super Bowl, and they almost pull it off. Then the Herschel Walker trade, and then the Cowboys getting a dynasty because of the Herschel Walker trade. And then 98, honking in the Metrodome against the Falcons. First ever 15-1 team to not reach the Super Bowl. And a couple years later, 11-2 start, finish 11-5, blow home field advantage throughout the whole playoffs, have to go to New York, where they open up a Jamba Juice stand right there on the sideline in the NFC Championship game, serving out Quitberry smoothies to anyone that wanted one. Then the Love Boat thing, the Mike Tice ticket scalping thing, and then you got the whole Favre thing, and then now this. It just adds the Saints being proven to be some of the biggest cheap shot artists in NFL history to where it contributed to the Vikings losing that game. Wasn't a major factor in it, but most importantly, you got to think of it this way. This just adds to our legacy as a Vikings fan. The sad tale just gets a little longer. And not to sound like I'm bragging or anything, but depending on who's telling the story, it's still interesting. It still sucks, but at least it's interesting.